Hey, it's Kyle Meredith, host of the Kyle Meredith With podcast, presented by WFPK at WFPK.org and the Consequence Podcast Network. It's a series that puts the spotlight on iconic musicians and actors, inviting them to drop by and talk about their latest projects, whether it's albums, TV shows, films, or beyond.
I'm going to say something I don't want to say. Here it goes. Without Spinal Tap, there is no Tenacious D.
Whoa. Man.
We get great stories and the biggest scoops from people like Garbage's Shirley Manson, the 1975's Matty Healy, Jack Black and Kyle Gass of Tenacious D, Maya Hawke, Kiefer Sutherland, and everyone in between. New episodes arrive every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so it's a great way to keep up with your favorite artists and discover some new ones. You can find Kyle Meredith With on the Consequence Podcast Network or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody, it's Barry from the What Podcast.
Hey, it's Russ.
Hey, it's Brian, and we are giving away two tickets to Bonnaroo 2024. These are GA Plus, and they include camping. Russ, how do people get qualified?
We want to hear your top artists to play on the Bonnaroo 2024 lineup.
Call 423-667-7877 and tell us who we should check out. It's the What Podcast. Thanks.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Some bands just need a shot at standing on a stage at a festival in front of thousands and thousands of people. It all started on the cafe stage at Bonnaroo for the Black Keys. Who will be next? Festival first timers from San Diego, California, Almost Monday. Our guest today on the What Podcast, which bands this year that matter, it starts right now. If you're new to the show, welcome. If we've known you forever, welcome back. It's the What Podcast, which bands this year that matter from 2.5 parts of the country. I'm Brad Steiner, Barry Corder, Lord Taco on your TV screen, moving picture box, and in your earbuds. Welcome back, gentlemen. How are you? Look at the tan,
hello,
Barry
hello.
Corder.
Look at that warm what has glow. Happened? It's lighting. Everything is,
you know,
lighting, man. It's,
you know,
all...
we get hooked up with Consequence, and Barry, the first thing he does is install a tanning bed.
Hair and makeup. Hair and makeup. Speaking of, that's a good looking dude you got working right there.
Yeah, you happy with it? Yeah,
That might be the best. I haven't been happy about some of the previous ones that you liked a lot, but that one's pretty good.
You're rating my haircuts now. That's what you're doing.
Today, you're and only today.
Well, the thing is that moving to a new city, by the way, if you don't know, I'm in New Orleans, Barry quarters in Chattanooga, and Lord Taco is in an undisclosed location in his Volkswagen bus. I moved to New Orleans after being in Chattanooga for 20 some odd years, and I had the same girl all the time, and she knew exactly what my head of hair needed to do. Moving to a new city, this was the hardest thing that I've had to do. Finding friends, that's easy. You know, finding your local bar, finding a dentist, a hair guy, the hardest move you can make.
I think the most excited I've ever seen you. You were about to drive from here to Nashville,
I did drive from Chattanooga to Nashville one time
to
get
pay
a haircut.
How much money? We never disclose.
We don't want to talk about that, but her name is Chainsaw Betty. So when you look up...
Is it Chainsaw?
Now, the pantheon of people that cut hair right at the top, Chainsaw Betty, which, by the way, if you're in Nashville and you need a quick cut, go to her. The reason why I like her is, and I didn't know this until I sat down, Yellow Wolf owns the place. And so when she sat me down and she goes, so how'd you find out about us? Are you a fan of Wolfie? Who in the hell is Wolfie? what am I supposed to know about? And so she had to say, oh, it's Yellow Wolf. I'm like, you know what? If Yellow Wolf was cutting my hair, I don't think I'd be able to pick him out of a lineup. I have no idea who Yellow Wolf is.
And you know, I'm very fond of my own hair. I'm very fond of my own hair. But I cut my own for like 20 years. And my feeling was, it'll be fine by Monday. It'll all be right back by Monday. And typically it is. So we're on different universes in this regard.
You know, it's really...
You can't even imagine, can you?
I'm feeling a tad ill. I don't necessarily feel comfortable with this conversation. It doesn't compute. The math doesn't add up. You cut your own hair?
Yep.
I mean, I know we love Bonnaroo and camping, but you're taking this lifestyle way too far, Barry. How is it that you got into Bonnaroo and got into camping and got more glammed out? How is it that you became a bigger
deal? I just let it go, man. Going blonde was the best thing I ever did.
That's what you call blonde. I think the eyes are next, Barry. I think the eyes are next.
I know, right?
I'm really excited. Anyway. So start talking about my hair and I just won't be able to stop. If you listened to some previous episodes, you know that now we're part of the Consequent Podcast Networks. You've heard us talk to Deftones, which, looking back on it, I want to do a whole episode of just us talking to Deftones.
Wasn't that fun?
I'll be honest with you. It's petrifying. Yeah, because it mattered to me.
Yeah, we all have those. I didn't realize you were that big a fan.
Well, it's one of these things that, like, there are certain things that I'm not necessarily comfortable about talking about. One of them is playing golf. And then there are other, like, bands that I just don't know how I'm supposed to communicate what I like. Like, for instance, you know something about me that not many people know. I love the band.
Yeah, Hootie.
Hootie and the Blowfish.
Hootie.
Yes. And I followed them around the country when I was 19. Yeah. So when I start to try and tell people that the bands that I listened to when I was a kid were Hootie and the Blowfish, Neutral Milk Hotel, Deftones, they look at me like I'm insane. So I just prefer not to talk about it.
So, okay. My moment was Brian Wilson. Absolutely. I couldn't speak. I knew, and he doesn't.
Thought you were going to say Linda Ronstadt. I'll be honest with you.
He doesn't do. Brian doesn't do interviews. It was one of those. I mean, I didn't know we were going here, but my brother Bob is a huge Beach Boy fan. He's turned more people on to the real Beach Boys than probably the real Beach Boys. We're not talking about surf stuff. We're not talking about Mike Love stuff. We're talking Brian Wilson and
What is real Beach Boys stuff?
Brian Wilson stuff. Surf's up.
Okay, so why don't you say that? It's Brian Wilson stuff.
Okay, yeah. Well, nobody likes Mike Love. So, and this will come up later.
It's so funny. By the way, Taco, little short story. One day I texted Barry and was like, I've got an interview with a Beach Boy tomorrow. And he said, if it's Mike Love, I don't care.
Yeah, I can promise you. So,
it was Mike Love.
So Brian Wilson is coming to Chattanooga. And, you know, I, like I always do, put in a request. I get this phone call saying, hey, he'll talk to you in like 2 days. You have to understand, my family, my brothers are such fans that I knew I could not have this conversation without reaching out to them first. So I sent all three of them the same text. I have an interview with Brian Wilson. What should I ask? Because I knew if I waited till after, I would have gotten a litany. You know, why didn't you do blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And all three of them took forever to respond. The only answer I got back was, why is Mike Love such a dick?
You know, it was a it's a fair question, honestly. But, you know, the guy, I think he gets a bad rap. He was a sweet. I think that being a multi-billionaire, you soften up a little bit. He was very nice to me. I had no problem with him whatsoever.
No, he was nice to me. I've interviewed him. In fact, my daughter, who you've met, she answered the phone when he called here.
Yeah, he dated.
Nice. She answered the phone when he called here. So, I mean, no, it was just, you have to be a Beach Boy fan to understand. And I don't feel bad saying what I just said, but because that's what they said. But that was the one I knew. If I didn't, I was going to go completely Chris Farley. Beach Boys.
What does going Chris Farley mean to you?
I was going
to doing cartwheels onto Letterman's.
No, I was going to go Chris Farley, Paul McCartney. So you were in the Beach Boys.
Oh, I get the reference now. Yeah,
what was that like?
Yeah, what was that like?
That's exactly what I was going to do.
I got you.
And especially if you've seen him interviewed. Anyway, that was mine. I had a good 2 years, man. I got to interview Steve Martin, Martin Short, Graham Nash, and Brian Wilson, all within like a little bit. All people that would have been on my list, never thought would happen. So I understand. I get it.
Well,
we went 100,000 miles.
I know, but I don't want to get too out in, ahead of ourselves. But we might have one on my list coming up later on the season. I don't want to give anything away. Might be a box checked for old Brad guy coming up soon.
All right, I hope so.
So we love this episode. If you're just now trying to figure out what in the hell we're doing, this is essentially a show that celebrates music festivals, music festival culture, inside baseball, chitter chatter. What we like about this episode specifically, we do it each and every year for Bonnaroo. The lineup is just packed full of artists that we don't know, that we've never heard of, especially when it gets into those, you know, eye doctor lines at the bottom. So what we decided to do one year is just like start talking to some bands that we don't know and try and figure out who they are, what they're about. And essentially it became Bonnaroo first timers. So first time artists that have never played Bonnaroo. And frankly, some of these people that we've talked to in the past have never played festivals before. It was so weird. 2 years ago, we did two Bonnaroo first timer episodes and both bands ended up not playing the festival. So we talked to them before not playing a festival, and they still haven't played a festival. So you just don't know how this is going to go.
It's one of my favorite things. I love
it. Well, I mean, it's the reason why we started the thing, the show right. To begin with, was to talk to and talk about bands that we didn't know anything about, because frankly, the first year we did this show, the Bonnaroo lineup was not very good. And so we had to spend weeks and months figuring out who in the hell half of these people were. It's not like the days of today where every festival lineup is incredible. You know, it was a struggle in 2016, man.
It was a great idea. And now a lot of those bands are favorites. Repeat. I mean, that wasn't that year, was it? But
no, that was a Bonnaroo led episode. That was not a Bonnaroo first.
That was led into that whole sort of discovery thing. Sure. And I think that's where we landed. That's what we love about these festivals.
Yeah, is the discovery part. So today, part one, I think that we'll have two parts for Bonnaroo first timers. But today we've got Almost Monday. Almost Monday is really great, though. Almost Monday, they're starting to pop a little bit on the alternative charts. And me being a guy that runs an alternative station, I'm very familiar with the kids of Almost Monday from San Diego, California, which turns out a lot richer of a musical city than you would anticipate. I talking to Switchfoot a few months ago, I looked at him and I was like, you know, there's literally no one from San Diego. One of the great cities in the country that we all think of as paradise, not really the biggest musical pedigree. And then they said, oh, sir, no. And then listed the dozens of people from San Diego that I had no idea about. Now, what do you guys know? Have you listened to anything? What do you know about the kids of Almost Monday, who, I mean, legitimately might be dating your daughter, Barry?
Wow, you that hurt. That hit, I mean,
they're
me right
that
between
young.
The eyes. Yeah,
they're that young.
No,
let
I
me
like
be honest
them.
With you. Russ's bus is older than these kids.
My bus is older than me.
I was.
Great point. Really great.
I was literally on the train with you until right then. I don't know that I've ever been speechless. No, I like them. I like them a lot. And what I love, and you set it up just right. This is in my mind. This is why what we do is so much fun, is the discovery. There's no way around it. I love, from the first day I ever set foot on that farm, I mean, that was 20 years into my whatever career you want to call it already. Everything felt stale, whatever. And just this discovery, wow, there's all these great bands and all these things I've never heard of. Some of them were going to go on to do great things, some not. But whatever, right. That was the fun part.
I mean, so by the way, you know, Bonnaroo First Timers is how we found War and Treaty. But when you get an assignment, or if you get an artist that calls you and says, "Hey, I want to do an interview with the paper," how many times do you say no?
Or just ignore it?
Yeah.
90%.
Yeah. See, that's the problem. And I think that I a couple of years ago, I'll tell you a terrible story, and I'm going to get you to play a little guessing game here. I worked at a top 40 radio station in Chattanooga, and there was a really, really young kid who was on a major label. And they said, "We're going to bring this kid by if you want to meet him and do like a small thing at the station. You know, he's got this sort of mediocre hit. Would you like to at least have him there, have some pizza, have a winner or two, come by and he'll play in your break room?" Well, my guy at the time, my music director, said, no thanks. No thanks. We are too busy. Way too busy. Way too busy in Chattanooga, Tennessee, doing radio. Guess who that bright little kid was?
I could go Bieber.
Justin Bieber.
What? I guessed right.
It was Justin Bieber. We said no to having Justin Bieber walk into the building. Why? Because we just happened to be a tad too busy that day telling fart jokes on the radio.
He was going to bring pizza.
And he was bringing Papa John's. We should have said yes just for the Papa, to be honest with you. There, the garlic dip. But we said no to it. And it said to me at that moment, just stop saying no. Just don't. You don't know who you're going to get when you can get them. So if you can get literally at this point, there's going to be a point in our life where nobody will talk to us.
If you remember our conversation with Kristen and Jared, repeat at Camp Nut Butter, who now do our theme song, which is awesome. The whole topic of the show was they always say yes. If you need us to play this gig, need us to go to the radio show, whatever.
That's a great point.
So if Bieber and his people were, if they're knocking at the door, I'm probably going to say yes. If they're sending me random email. Oh my God, that was a huge part of it. That was the thing. Right? They were all yes. Everything is yes.
I have been saying this for the better part of like 3 years to anybody that I meet whenever they're like, hey, do you want to go? I was like, I say no to nothing. I say no to nothing. I forgot I got that from Jared. It hit me in the ass the other day. So me and my buddy went to the Pelicans game. Excuse me. We go to the Pelicans game and we come back and we just happen to be passing a guy's house that he knows. And so we're like, oh, we'll call him. We'll just run up to his apartment. We get up to his apartment. It's like 11 o'clock. It's after the game. And he meets me for the first time. He says, oh, nice to meet you. It's so great to meet you. I'm like, hey, Brad. Blah, blah. He's like, you want a drink? You want to like, I say yes to everything. I say no to nothing. So he walks into his bedroom, comes back out with a vial of LSD and says, say no to nothing, huh? I looked at him. I was like, it's Tuesday. Who's doing this on a Tuesday?
All right. We might need to amend some rules in this thing. I'm going to let you clean this up, but whatever.
I said no, by the way. I'm just like, I'm clarifying that. I said no.
Because it was Tuesday. Is that why you said no?
It was Tuesday. I don't know about the rest of the days, but I said no because it was Tuesday. All right. So first up, Dawson, Cole, and Luke from Almost Monday. Because we're all. Oh my goodness, look at those guys.
What's going on? Hello, fellas.
What's going on, gentlemen?
Nothing much. We just did this like live stream in our garage, and it's nice to not be in there. It gets super hot, so enjoying the outside now.
Oh yeah, the bright, shining San Diego sun looks terrible. That looks awful, huh?
Yeah. What? Where are you guys based out of?
Well, we are in, we say this pretty regularly, we're in 2.5 parts of the country. I'm in New Orleans. Barry Corder is back home where I'm from, Chattanooga, Tennessee. And then our buddy Lord Taco, Russ, is in an undisclosed location in his 77 Westfalia. So
how's it going?
We don't really know where he is, but that's where us two are, at least.
He could be anywhere. Russ could be anywhere, literally.
That's the idea.
In fact, he might be pulling up any minute, guys. Be on the lookout.
Yeah. You got driveway I can crash in?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I'm gonna bring up is Barry was really complimentary about his own hair today. Barry, you a little jealous yet? You a little jealous? I told you the kid had good hair.
This is a good show. Hair. This is a hair
All
show.
All three of us got good hair. Look at this. Look We're at getting that. Killed I'm here, telling dude. You.
Barry, you're killing it, man. And
Thank you.
I'm just saying that. It looks great.
Thank you. Yeah, we should. We need to exchange tips and hair care tips here. I know Brad probably has a whole regimen that he can share with us. So
guys, Dad cuts his own hair. That's all we need to say. Dad cuts his own hair.
Some of us are blessed.
Yeah, I'm so excited to talk to you guys because you guys sort of like found your way at least into my hemisphere so quickly and so abruptly. And it's not like that for a lot of people. You know, not everybody, you know, programs a radio station. So for those who don't know Almost Monday, give us the A, B's, and C's. Who are you guys? And tell me what you're about.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks for having us, guys. We really appreciate it. Or Almost Monday, three friends. We all kind of grew up together. All grew up in San Diego. Luke and I started playing music together really, really young. And then I met Cole surfing when I was around like 15. And we met literally like out in the water. And I came back to his house after we surfed and like met his dad. And his dad's like, well, Cole plays guitar. And I was at the time like doing that show, The Voice. So I was telling him about that. And then Gary, kind of Cole's dad, was like, you guys should, you know, link up and maybe try to do something. And then we kind of started the band from there. But that's sort of where our roots lie. And in the early days, we were just playing a ton of like just shows, booking them ourselves, like playing everywhere in San Diego, like the Casbah 1,000 times, throwing shows, at UNIV, the surf shop, our buddy's surf shop. And, ended up going to college all in San Diego and sticking together and, really giving it a full shot because it's sort of what we
Cole, at any point did you say, Dad, do we have to do this again?
He's my friend.
Everybody I bring over, you got to talk to him about playing guitar, don't you?
He's my friend. What was the music that, what was the music then that sort of you bonded with?
I feel like at the time when we started the band, we were like, we didn't really record music. We were kind of just loved playing it live. So we just like, we were a true garage band. And we just kind of like played music together and like, you know, made up some stuff every once in a while, like tried to write songs at the early stages, but a lot of just like kind of surf rock music and kind of stuff that a lot of bands are playing around here locally. It's kind of like where we started, I think.
Yeah.
We're listening to a lot of different, when I met you, were listening to like a lot of like classic rock. I don't know.
Okay. I gotta ask, cause I'm dad, granddad, whatever. What is classic rock to you? Because I can
Blink
already see Brad. Brad's already loading up. I can see Brad loading up. Here it comes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, guys, if you say Fog Hat, he's going to have to cut himself off. He's going to have to leave.
Yeah, I'm betting it's not Aerosmith. But so go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, like Led Zeppelin, like
I don't know.
Psychedelic Furs. Yeah,
Furs.
There you go.
My man.
Nice. There's no wrong answer. It's just we're going to make fun of it no matter what it is. Blink, semisonic, whatever.
Well, I find it to be so interesting that, I talked to Switchfoot about the same exact topic of bands that are from San Diego. I mean, it's not like San Diego has the richest music history, right? And I said this to them, and this is not an insult. People in San Diego just have better shit to do. You know, I mean, like you literally.
True. What the heck?
That's why it's like sports teams, shows. It's so hard to get people places because they could go do six other things.
That's right.
Like, our pod is open up though, man. We finally have a team. We're still.
Yeah. Well, I know they're doing well. I just like what you just said is the point. Well, we could be playing music, but we were surfing.
Really?
So
that's a great point.
Just we've got other things to do in San Diego, but when you look at the like the pantheon of San Diego music, it's actually better than you think, and that's what they reminded me of. I mean, aside from RuPaul, mind you, RuPaul, Eddie Vedder is from Tom Waits is from San Diego, Blink-182, of course, STP, and then my favorite, Austrian Death Machine.
Whoa.
Austrian Death Machine.
You just pulled that out of your rear end.
I'm serious.
All right, nice, good for you.
Eddie Vedder is like from SDA, like, or yeah, he went to my high school. So I mean,
no kidding.
Wow.
That can surface, but you're right. Yeah. Shout out Eddie Vedder. He gave us like the best music program at our school.
Literally. Nice. Building. Nice.
Wait a second. Hang on a second. So what? Just real quick. What school is it? And what is the music program?
The school is San Diego Academy. It's kind of, it's like the local public school here in like North County, Encinitas area. And he just like paid for this huge building that has like tons of music programs from like MIDI engineering and like music theory. I was able to take a music theory course there and like full like
wow,
jazz band and stuff. I did that for a little bit.
I mean, this is at 16, 17 years old, right?
The building's fairly new. It's probably like, I don't know, like 7 years old or so, like 6 years old.
Do you think that you gained a lot from that program, or do you think it's, you know, just too, it was too new, too quick?
Sure. They had like instruments and stuff too there that you could just use. And yeah, it took a
no
lot.
No kidding.
Yeah, it was super nice.
Oh my God. Is there anybody else that has been in that program that is in sort of a band now that you know?
The Switchfoot guys. Oh, wait. Didn't they go to SDA?
Yeah, the Switchfoot guys.
Did they really? School, they're like 60.
Yeah, that's before for the building. Oh, yeah. True.
They're not that old.
I mean, I find this to be really fascinating because first of all, I didn't know it existed. Secondly, you know, if you can like put a direct connection to, you know, Eddie Vedder and that music academy, I'm just letting you know, I mean, I'm not your manager, but opening slot.
No, that's really cool. And for somebody like him to do that, that's amazing. I'm still sitting here. I'm a huge Tom Waits fan. I had no idea he was from there. I mean,
this all started, you know, for you guys relatively quickly and not that long ago, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we wanted to keep the band going after high school because we just really loved it. And so Cole went to UC San Diego and Luke and I went to Point Loma Nazarene. So we were still like actively doing the band while in college and kept going with it. And then got signed. We were playing this show in Santa Monica. It was like one of the sketchiest shows of all time. Like the last show that you would want an A&R guy who's interested in your band to come to. Uh-huh. Like the mix, there was no mixer. Like somebody had to bring in this tiny little mixing board. And it was in this like airplane hangar with like huge walls and it sounded awful. But like just the room and everything. And we're like, can the A&R guy come to a different show? And he ended
who
up
is the A&R guy? Do you remember what's his name?
Yeah, Mike Daly. He's over at Hollywood. But from there on, we were sort of like, okay, like let's give this a real shot if you know people are interested in helping us. And
See, Brad, I reminded you earlier, one of the lessons we learned from our friends Repeat when they came to Camp Nut Butter was always be ready. You never know who's going to be in that audience, you know. Got to go hard. You got to go strong and you got
to
be ready.
I'll be honest with you. What I'm learning from this, I need to learn surfing. I just need to go surfing more. Okay. But this is really interesting. So you, this thing happens all relatively quickly. You don't, and correct me if I'm wrong, I might be totally wrong about this, but you have a lot of shows under your belt. And with the experience you have already, you're going to turn that into a festival show. And to double back on all of that, do you have any other festivals other than Bonnaroo ready to go? Are you going to be on any other festivals? And how's that all going to work for you?
Yeah, a few of the ones that we're playing like aren't announced yet, so I don't really know how much we can kind of say it being unannounced. But yeah, we're going to be playing some festivals this year. Which
Speak
is,
freely.
Yeah. Which is
nobody listens.
We're touring with a band called AJR.
Friends of
Art. I actually, in fact, long story short, not to interrupt, but AJR, they played My Courtyard in Chattanooga, Tennessee as their first ever radio show and then came back and played a thing called The Running of the Chihuahuas. Ask Adam one day about playing a Chihuahua show and see what he says.
Yeah, no and just to be clear, Brad, when he says courtyard, it's about as big as the space you're sitting in right now.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So pretty cool. Yeah, they're great.
Gosh, that's funny. We were on tour with AJR. We were opening for them and then obviously, as we all know, the pandemic happened, and those shows were crazy. Like, we got, you know, direct support, which was huge for us. Like, their audience and their fan base is crazy. So we played the first three shows of that tour, and then it was picking back up in, like, April. So to be able to come back this year and, like, have some festivals and, like, figuring out what, you know, touring is going to be like in the fall is, I mean, like we were saying earlier, like, it's kind of the reason we started a band was to play live. And it's kind of the main reason we love doing it. So it'll be nice to get back out on stage.
Well, with that being said, when you look at the kids loving music, what were the festivals you were going to in San Diego? I'm guessing, did you go to Coachella at all?
I haven't been to Coachella. Oh, no. There's a festival in San Diego called Kaboo that we went to, every year it was open. So.
Okay. But have you ever heard of Bonnaroo?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. So what from the West Coast, from San Diego, what is your impression of Bonnaroo?
It seems kind of like one of the Lollapalooza, but for that area of the country, I guess.
Feels like in my head, the way I've always seen it is like, it feels like one of the big three, like being Coachella, Bonnaroo, and Lollapalooza. And there's other huge ones too, but in my head, when I think of like an American, like, you know, music festival, I feel like Bonnaroo is up there in terms of like iconicness.
Let me ask it this way, because this is kind of what we sort of do. Brad and I and Russ are fans. I don't know, first, whatever, but we also like talking about the industry. So from your point of view, what do you picture this next season, if you will, is going to be like for you guys personally and then professionally? What do you separate the two, or can you, you know what I mean? Or are you the types that sit and have like lists of here's what I hope to do? Or are you just like, man, let's go see what happens?
I think a mix of both. It's kind of hard to plan, especially as we've learned. It just, you know, there's one plan and then it completely gets changed to another plan. And so it's kind of like, you know, you work really hard for everything but hold everything loosely because you don't know until you're on stage or, you know, in the car going to wherever, you know. So, it's just crazy to think, like, it seems almost like a different life last year when we were playing shows. It's like, it felt like a weird, like, fever dream of, like, amazing, going around all these little different places and people. And it's like, whoa, like, we're going to do that again. But, like, that was, like, a 2, and we're about to go do it at 10. It's so much more. It's going to be crazy.
Look, I think that you guys got now that you said it, you got a really good lesson going on a few shows with AJR. I mean, they've got a festival like setup with that crowd. That crowd is insane. I mean, it might be because he's always in his underwear, but they're always insane for some reason.
Yeah, they are. No, I feel like those shows were like really good prep. I feel we played Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, like filled out, which was crazy. And then like that venue in DC, the Anthem. And that place is, I don't know if you guys have been there yet, but I think it's a pretty new venue, but it was packed out. And we were like, holy shit, man, this is huge. There's a lot of people here.
Well, that's kind of what
nerve wracking, huh? Because
we've had guests on before, AJR, I think. And I know Paul Janaway with St. Paul. It's like when you do these types of things, it sort of becomes, we can actually do this.
Yeah.
This is real. You know, this might be a way we can make a living.
Yeah, I kind of, and it's weird. I actually sort of get way more nervous for the little club shows or even like smaller shows. When you like I remember we opened for Foster the People at the Soda Bar, which is a really small venue, and the people are just right here, and you're like performing, singing into people's faces, and you can just see everybody's reaction. In a bigger show, it's a little bit more like, I don't even know what's going on. There's just a sea of people. It's almost like
not only can you see them, but they can see you.
Yeah.
And it almost is like way too vulnerable. Am I doing right? Do I have something in my pocket? Do they see my car keys? Something feels very weird here.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah.
No, I love that, because if there's anything that would be nerve-wracking to me, it would be And I honestly, I was this close. I talked to Offspring yesterday, and I was this close to asking them, I'll just ask you,
yeah,
is there any time that you say to yourself, am I good at this?
All the time.
Because, like, yeah, I mean, like, I was just close to asking Offspring this, but, you know, I mean, it's Offspring. You know, they've been doing it for 30 years. They don't give a shit if they're good at it. You know, they just love it. But I would be very nervous sometimes if I asked, if I was, like, having to do this and you know, thrusted into this world where I've always wanted to be. I mean, hell, I ask myself this question every day on the radio, and I tell fart jokes, for Christ's sakes. Yeah. But I wonder if I wonder how much self-doubt there is for guys like you.
I've talked to a few friends about this, but like the imposter syndrome of like, I'm up here in front.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Everyone's going to eventually figure out I'm not really, I'm faking
exactly.
This.
Exactly. It's this feeling of how long can I like pretend like, you know, you're supposed to be, you know, entertaining people at this high level and there's thousands of people, but I'm also like, man, I'm just Dawson. These are just my friends from San Diego. Like, is this really great and stuff? I think the way I've simplified it for myself is to kind of go back on, you guys were talking, but the Switchfoot guys, I'm sure you guys know, probably the greatest dudes of all time, like the sweetest, great. They're so amazing. But we were playing a show with them in San Diego at the Del Mar or the San Diego Fair. And I was really nervous going out before the show. And I got John Foreman, the lead singer, was right there. And I was just like, yeah, I'm nervous. It was like this was still when we were in high school, I think. But I remember his advice was like, just go out there and you're basically like a mirror for people. Like your energy, you know, your confidence, you know, even you just having a good time, having fun. People kind of just reflect what you are giving off. So for me, I feel that way all the time where I'm like, man, there's people way more qualified to be up on the stage or entertain these people. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think if you're having a good time and hopefully you write some good songs and, you know, you just get out there and have a nice time, I think people want to enter into that time. So I try to not overthink it and just try to get out there.
I think you just nailed it. I think
I do too. I think
absolutely nailed it. That's right.
I've never put it. I've never thought about it this way, but it is a two-way street, isn't it? I mean, it only works when it's two ways.
Yeah.
You know, I think probably as an artist, a lot of people think I'm giving and they have to take, but they give back too. So
yeah. Oh, for sure.
Yeah, be a mirror. That's really great. Now, yeah, when it comes to your song, first off, thanks so much for taking some time out of the hot studio. But you know, when it comes to the way that you guys write songs, I will say, I mean, even in this, you know, space that you're in, I mean, Barry, these kids just it's hook after hook after hook after hook after hook. So I mean, you guys do, and believe me, by the way, people that write songs like that tell me that they know the industry because this thing called call out and hooks after hooks after hooks, really good for call out. And that's it, gets you really good research and radio. Yeah. So yeah, they're radio made. It's a radio made outfit that you guys have. And I'm really excited for you guys. And I'm excited to see what it becomes at Bonnaroo. Now, being right outside the studio, you could walk in and play something, right? You're right there.
Yeah. I mean, our studio being our garage filled with.
Is it the garage? Is that all it is?
Yeah, it's just a garage. It's nothing fancy. We
That's
usually
awesome.
out of LA at our producer's living room, but our space is a little bit more humble than that.
That's awesome. No, that's the way it should be. Yeah. Stay right there. Stay right there. Guys, I'm so happy you joined us. I really am. I'm so glad that you're a part of this, and we're excited to meet you at the Farm of Manchester and probably at some other festival along the way that will not be named.
Yeah. I don't want to get in trouble, man. I don't know what I can say.
I mean, who is the band that leaked the Bonnaroo lineup?
Could you do that?
There's a guy that released the Bonnaroo lineup really early, and it caused the entire festival to have to announce the lineup early, and it was like Mdu Mokhtar. You could be that guy. You guys could be that guy.
We're not going to be that.
I tell you what,
not to be asked back.
I think it's working out in his favor. From everything I've seen, everybody loves him.
Yeah, he's doing
and
great.
And he's good.
He's doing very great. Good. So. Okay, guys, we'll see you at Lollapalooza. All right, I'm kidding. I don't know that. I just said that. I don't know if that's true. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy San Diego. Life looks tough.
Thank you.
Almost Monday on the What Podcast, which bands this year that matter. The episode today, Festival Firsts. Or is it Bonnaroo Rookies? I forgot the name of the show, Barry.
First Timers.
First Timers.
First Timers.
That's a
First Timers.
Festival First Timers.
Just like you, it's Monday. Your first time.
Feels like new. A first day. So the Almost Monday kids, almost 30 when you add up all their ages. They are a young group. They are young kids. And, you know, I've gotten to that age, Barry, where, you know, I think I used to be really angry about young people's success. Now I think I just don't care. Now I just want them to do whatever they need to do. But boy, there was a point in my life where I really didn't like when kids were successful. And those kids, they got it.
You set me up for such a classic dad, grandpa, old guy thing. Yeah, I don't even care anymore. I quit thinking about stuff like that so long ago because I don't care what I care.
Oh, you're 16 and more successful than me? Sounds about right.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, it's every one of them now. Every one of them have this beautiful life that is just, you know, curated by an Instagram feed. It's just perfect. I mean, the kid's name is even perfect. I mean, he's even got a great name. He's cut out of an Instagram thing. He's tailor-made for this.
Here, I'll put this in your thoughts. There are certain phrases that when you start any sentence with, it's never a good thing. And one of them is, when I was your age.
Yeah. Did I say that?
Please. No, you will. And that's what I mean. I try to avoid it. I remember when I was your age. You kids,
yeah. Barry, what were you Never doing go. when you were my age? What were you doing?
40. I was coaching Little League baseball.
Wait a second. That is not true. You are way off there, pal. Way off.
Yeah. 40. I was coaching Little League baseball.
Damn it, Barry.
I have not set him up for that. Like, what do you got? 2 months? How much you got to go?
You know, we can readdress this topic at Bonnaroo, but for right now, we got 39.
I thought so.
Yeah,
I was coaching Little League and whatever. Never mind. I'm not. Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing. Watch this, Barry. Lord Taco, what were you doing at 39?
I was doing this show because I was just 2 years ago.
Drinking PBR. Sure.
Yeah, drinking PBR.
Yeah. So
you can still do that at my age.
It's a good point. They were good kids, man. I mean, all this in jest because I do think that they have it. They've got it. They feel like they've been, you know, cut from central casting. They were brought in and dropped right there, straight from central casting. We need good looking young pop rock stars. You're hired. They got it.
I mean, I love it. You know, what were you doing when you met? We were surfing. We met on a wave in the ocean, went back to his house, and his dad said, hey, Cole plays guitar.
I mean,
come on, that's a movie.
Eddie
Vedder, you know, is, you know, bought the school equipment that I learned to play on.
It is a 90s movie starring Freddie Prinze Jr. You're exactly right. Yes, this was Freddie Prinze, Keanu Reeves, and then some, you know, kid you'll ever see again. But yeah, that's exactly what it is.
And it's good. I liked it. They're good. Old guy me loves it. I thought it was great. I can't wait to see him. And here's a nice kid. It was great.
Here's the crazy thing. The conversation went so well, we've run out of time for Devin Gafilian, which is very sad, but luckily we'll have him next week on the What Podcast.
And if I can, what do they call it? A callback? The AJR connection with those guys. I mean, that's awesome. AJR, friends of the show, friends of Brad. Yeah. Go back. If you guys, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to that episode. They were great too. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, AJR is one of these things where like, I hear it. I just was not expecting it to be like a real thing. You know, it's hard for me to like change my brain from seeing them, you know, hang out at my radio station, you know, conference room eating Papa John's, and then all of a sudden say, yeah, I can see them in front of 30,000 people at Bonnaroo.
Which was great.
That show was massive. I mean, I remember them saying years ago, and I think it was Quayar from AC Entertainment that said, you know, the biggest show they probably have ever had at the Witch stage, which is the second stage of Bonnaroo, was Mumford and Son. You know, that one show before they hit big and on the What stage, there was 30 some thousand people on it. You know, I think Cardi B probably got there 2 years ago, but man, that AJR crowd was up there. It had to be up there. And I don't know if they keep actual records of what they think estimated crowd sizes are anymore, but my God, that crowd was massive for AJR, and I never saw it coming.
It was fun, and that's why this is fun. So maybe Almost Monday's next.
Maybe they're next. You know, maybe they're next. And you know, in a completely different arena, Almost Monday fit into that AJR space. Devin Kafilian, a completely different artist. I mean, just could not be a bit more 180 than Almost Monday. And I'm really excited to talk to him about the whole songwriting process for him, because he's doing it probably in a much different way than those kids are doing it.
I love talking about this stuff, the inside baseball stuff. I love it.
Yeah. So the other thing about the show and about Bonnaroo, and we've been mentioning in the past couple of weeks, we actually have tickets to give away. A sold out show, sold out festival. First off, I think that we all anticipated Bonnaroo to sell out. I don't know if we knew it was going to sell out that quickly. And then to turn out that we still have tickets. Kind of surprised they didn't take them away from us. Whenever you like have these. Yeah, we sort of need those back. Tickets back.
Yeah, you were serious?
We
don't have those. And we have what, camping?
I sure as hell hope so.
Yeah, for the ticket, the winners, it's nice. Yeah,
I don't want to drop them at the Waffle House and say good luck.
You gotta go there to the Starbucks right on the entrance there. Yeah.
All right, so this is what we're going to do. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Taco, remind me what the Twitter handles are.
Twitter is the what_podcast, and Instagram is the what podcast.
Okay, why is it two different things?
Because somebody took it on Twitter before we had it.
Oh, that wasn't my fault, though.
No.
Okay. Well, I was for sure that was my fault.
It kind of was because you named the show, but.
Ah, damn it.
The what_podcast on Twitter.
So follow those two accounts, and what we'll ask you to do is either tweet or Instagram hashtag the what podcast. Send us a tweet, either send a tweet out there into the atmosphere about how bad you want to go to Bonnaroo. Maybe show us your camping setup. Maybe show us, a Bonnaroo memory that you have on Instagram, a photo, and just hashtag it the What Podcast. We're going to pull all of these hashtags together and then pull a winner probably in the next 4 or 5 weeks or so. And that person will get two tickets and camping pass to the sold out Bonnaroo 2021 festival. How about that, kids? Is that good enough?
I love it. Great. I love it. I gotta say, Brad, I keep listening to Aquarius. I love that song.
Do you really?
I keep listening to it when we're not even doing the show.
Yeah.
Tell everyone to radiate.
I like it a lot. Jared's like, yeah, but it's not mastered. I'm like, have you heard the show?
Exactly.
So if you missed it, Jared and Kristen from Repeat Repeat, Jared Repeat and Kristen Repeat got the whole band together, Repeat Repeat, and did a theme song for us. That's what you heard at the beginning of the show, and you get to hear the whole thing here at the end. But if you want to download it, it's available at thewhatpodcast.com. They're totally they said just take it. It's all yours, and play it for all the parties, play it for all the campsites, and make sure it's at least available for people to download, because you know, who knows? They literally whipped it up in 2 hours. I gave them an idea, and then they were done in 2 hours.
I love it. Radiate. I love it. I love the little hook. I love everything. Mm-hmm. The horns at the end, which is an inside joke for us, but I still love it. It's great.
Yeah, they're the only two people in the world that don't like horns. It's very, very strange. It's a very odd thing. We had this, I you know, in New Orleans, there's a lot of second lines, right? People are second lining, you know, for funerals, for, you know, because yeah, it's Tuesday.
The other day they did Bowie and who was the other one?
Yeah, but horns are pervasive right. in the city. And if you hear, like, the wife and I will just be sitting at the house one day, the windows will be open, you'll hear horns, and we'll go running to the windows and the doors because we think that a second line's about to walk by the house or a band is playing. You know, it's like it's like the call. It's like the call of the wild in New Orleans, and we just come rushing to the horns. And you know, I'll always send them videos and pictures of it, and they'll just send me this. Why? Who hates horns?
See, everyone has their challenges.
Very strange. It's very strange. I feel
the
like
song
there's
is great.
Is there anything else we need to get to? Go download the song, rate, review us on your platforms, because that really helps. It really, really helps the Consequence people. This is really for them. They really need, you know, those numbers, and you know, God love them. If you don't know, we're now on the Consequence Podcast Network. So rate, review the show if you like it. If you don't like it, I would prefer if you just didn't write a review, to be honest with you. Just skip up that little part. And then enter the contest. Hashtag the What Podcast on Instagram and Twitter. Anything else before we go?
Nope. All right. Have a great week.
Covered it.
Devin Gavillion next week on a second part of Festival First Timers on the What Podcast. We'll see you then. Love you. Bye.
Consequence Podcast Network.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check.
Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.